If you have your Bibles, would you turn to Acts chapter 16? And as you're turning there, next week on September 1st, your T-shirt orders will be in. I'm sorry we had to have a hard deadline, but that was for the creator of the T-shirts, who, by the way, we need to pray for Robbie Robinson. He's had two deaths in the family within a two-week time, but he's working hard to get our shirts. So they will be available next Sunday morning, September 1st. And I want to thank Sister Grace Kane for designing those shirts. Where are you, Grace? Are you? She's upstairs. There she is. Thank you, sister. Y'all, let's give it up. Amen. 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 She's special, isn't she, brother? Come on with it. Amen. That's her husband right there. Hallelujah. All right. Well, let's pray together. Father, we thank you that we're family. We thank you that because of the Holy Spirit that you've given to each one of your children, you have baptized us into the body of Christ. We are linked with one another now and eternally. We pray for the Holy Spirit to continue having his way today. And with that, Lord, comes the hearing, the preaching, and the application of the Word of God. Thank you, Jesus, that you didn't leave us without help. You didn't leave us as orphans, but you adopted us and you empowered us not only to be witnesses and to share the gospel, but you also gave us the Holy Spirit that he might lead us into all truth, and not just on Sundays, but every day. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you've come to bring glory to Jesus. And I thank you that today we've been glorifying Jesus, thanking God the Father for him. Now, Lord, as we open up the Word, we open up our minds, we open up our hearts, speak to us, heal every place that's broken in us. And for people who are here and maybe even watching online who don't have a saving relationship with you, I pray that today would be the day of salvation, that the angels would rejoice in heaven because some man, woman, boy, or girl chose to put their faith in the Lord Jesus to be their Savior and their Lord. Oh God, I'm so glad again we've got help from the Holy Spirit. Have your way, God. Have your way. For it's in Jesus' name that I ask it all. Amen and amen. Acts chapter 16, beginning at verse 16. If you don't have your scriptures, they will be on the screen. But I'm reading from the New King James Version. And the Bible reads, "Now it happened, as we went to prayer, that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, 'These men are the servants of the Most High God, who proclaim to us the way of salvation.' And this she did for many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the spirit, 'I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her.' And he came out of her that very hour. But when her masters saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. And they brought them to the magistrates and said, 'These men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city. And they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe.' Then the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. But at midnight,
Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them, suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, "Do yourself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light, ran in, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas, and he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" So they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in the house, and he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes, and immediately he and all his family were baptized. Now when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them, and he rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household. Verse 40, so they went out of the prison and entered the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they encouraged them and departed. So brothers and sisters, during this time of 21 days of prayer, let's talk today from this passage on pray, Paul and Silas. Pray. Pray, Paul and Silas. Pray. One of the greatest traps, in my opinion, of modern Christendom is this drift that we see happening every day, and it is a drift towards individualism. This drift towards what De La Soul would say, and that is me, myself, and I. There's this drift away from community and a drift towards individualism, where people will say boldly, "I love God, but I don't go to church." Where people will say, "I love God, but I don't trust people. I love God, but the church is corrupt and it's nothing but a big old business. I love God, but I don't want to do that church thing." And the devil loves it when Christians want to isolate into individualism, because it's easier to attack you as the lion looking for someone to devour. The enemy has his way and has a field day on Christians who are separated from the flock and trying to live the Christian life in a way that God did not intend, and that is on your own. No, we're meant to be in community. God created us for community. And then when he saved us to be a part of a community called the body of Christ. So the hand can't say to the foot, "I don't need you." No, we all need each other. You need my gifts to edify you. I need your gifts to edify me. Without you, there's something missing in my walk. He created us to be like a puzzle that fits together, but no puzzle piece can stand alone. And no Christian is supposed to stand alone, because the truth is Christians who stand alone won't stand long. Hello, walls, am I preaching? Or anybody in here? Christians who stand alone won't stand long. So in the Lord's Prayer, which has also been called the model prayer, the words "I," "me," or "myself" do not appear in the Lord's Prayer. I'm going to say it again. The words "I," "me," or "myself" do not appear in the Lord's Prayer. Rather, you will read of words "our," "us," and "we" in the Lord's Prayer. So when Jesus is instructing his disciples on how to pray, it's a community instruction and not so much a personalized instruction. "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. You don't hear I, me, and myself. And what this says is we need to be praying with other Christians. Need to be praying with other Christians. And if you break it down even more, and as we see in this text, you and I need prayer partners. We need a prayer partner. Why? Because life will hit you if you haven't realized that yet. Life doesn't play fair. And just because we become Christian, that doesn't mean life is going to play fair now. No, if anything, it's going to get even more ruthless because you have a bullseye on you because you are now an enemy, all the more, of the prince of darkness. So life will hit you, and you will need someone to help bear your burdens. The Bible says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law and the love of Christ. Bear burdens. Help people carry things to the Lord in prayer. You need a prayer partner to hold your arms up when your arms get tired. Going back to the story of Moses in the book of Exodus, as long as his hands were lifted towards heaven, Joshua and the army were winning in the valley. But soon as he got tired and his hands began to drop, that's when Joshua and the Israelites were losing to the Amalekites. So Moses had two men, one on his right and one on his left, hold his hands up to heaven in a position of intercession. Sometimes our hands get tired, and we need somebody to help hold our arms up in prayer. We need people to be our prayer partner because we need someone to cover us when we can't pray for ourselves. It gets tough sometimes, and when it gets tough, and you know you ought to be praying, but sometimes it's like, Lord, I don't even have the strength to pray. Thank God for the Holy Spirit, Romans 8, who knows how to take those moans and groans to God on our behalf. God knows our heart, but still we want to be able to be audible to God about what's going on. And so we may need somebody to pray for us when we don't always have the words to pray for ourselves. You ever call a friend and say, man, sis, would you pray for me right now? That's a good thing to have. Even Jesus, as he was in the Garden of Gethsemane on the way to Calvary, he said to his disciples, watch with me. Watch with me. And he took Peter, James, and John, and they went a little further. But he said to them, watch with me. And watch is just another way of saying pray. It speaks of a military kind of thing. Watch for the advancement of the enemy. But when we think of prayer, prayer is a militaristic kind of thing. And so he's saying to them, watch with me, because I need y'all to pray with me. I need y'all to pray for me. And he goes away and he prays. Then our Lord comes back and he finds the disciples asleep. He wakes them up and said, watch with me. He goes away and pray. He comes back. They fell asleep on him. So as prayer partners, we don't want to fall asleep on the people that God has called us to pray for. And when somebody asks you to pray for me, make sure you do it. And one of the ways I try to make sure I do it is to pray right there on the spot, because I don't want to be guilty of telling someone I'll pray for them and then not do it. But everybody needs a prayer partner. Ecclesiastes 4, verses 9 and 10, it says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. So when you're struggling, when I'm struggling, do we have someone who can help lift us up in the spirit, lift us up by praying for us, praying over us? So we all need a prayer partner. But not only that, we all need to be a prayer partner. We need a prayer partner and we need to be a prayer partner. Why? Because it keeps us from being self-centered. A lot of times we think we're the only one going through something. No, no, no. You start praying for other people, you realize other people are going through things as well. It's not always about you, always taking, always receiving. You need to turn around and give. As a matter of fact, as you and I walk with a limp, one of the best ways for us to get healed is to help other people who are walking with a limp. But a lot of times we just want to take in, take in, take in, and just drain the body. But in our weakness, we can still minister to other people and pray for other people as well. So being a prayer partner keeps us from being self-centered. It allows us to show love to our brothers and sisters. And it allows the two of you, when you pray, it allows the two of you to trust God together, wait on God together, believe God together, and see the manifestation of the prayer happen together. And now there's rejoicing together that the two of you came together to pray. But above all, needing a prayer partner and being a prayer partner, it multiplies your spiritual impact. It multiplies your spiritual impact. So let me read a couple of scriptures to prove that. Deuteronomy 32, verse 30. This may not make sense until I read Joshua, but dig this. How could one chase 1,000, and two put 10,000 to flight unless their rock had sold them? How can one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight? They are about to go into the promised land and begin to take what God had promised to them by force. He gave them the promised land, but they still had to take it. And what this is saying is that the Israelite soldiers, because God is with them and they're in the Israelite army, that one of them can put 1,000 Jebusites, Amalekites, all those kind of people to flight because of who is with them. One can put 1,000 to flight, but then two can put 10,000 to flight. Do you see the multiplication of their impact? Well, Joshua 23:10 lets us know, again, Joshua, the one who is leading Israel into the promised land, it says, one man of you shall chase 1,000. For the Lord your God is he who fights for you as he promised. So one of us can put 1,000 devils to flight. Two of us can put 10,000 devils to flight. We've multiplied our spiritual impact when we come together and pray. Matthew chapter 18, verses 19 through 20. I had to go back to the King James Version on this. And the Bible says, Jesus is speaking, again, I say to you, and this is in the context of church discipline, but there's still many applicable truths here for us. He says, again, I say to you that if two of you shall agree on earth, stop and pause. The Bible says, how can two walk together unless they agree? So when two people come together agreeing that Jesus is Lord and that Jesus can make a way out of no way, my God, watch out. If two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, we're going through issues on earth, but we're going to touch and agree on this matter that God is able, God is good, God is sovereign. The Bible says, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, specifically praying together in my name, touching and agreeing, there am I in the midst of them. So until you get what you're praying for, you're going to get a special touch of my presence as the two of you get together. I will be with you. You will find my peace, my joy, my hope, my strength. So as you're waiting on that thing you're touching and agreeing about, I'm going to do something in you once you say amen that you could not have got unless you had prayed. Something happens when God's people come together, but the devil wants to keep God's people from coming together because he knows what happens. One can put 1,000. Two can put 10,000. If I can just keep them separated, divided, isolated. But even in the animal kingdom, this law works. Horses. I didn't grow up on a farm, but I heard about it. One horse, it has been studied, can pull upwards of 9,000 pounds of cargo. One horse can pull 9,000 pounds. But if you put two horses together, they can pull 24,000 pounds. Almost three times of what one can do by itself. You put two together, they can pull 24,000. What happens when we come together? Here's my main point today. When you pray, with another believer, your spiritual impact is multiplied. When you pray, meaning I got to be vulnerable with someone and tell them what's going on in my life. When you pray with another believer who knows God and knows how to get through to God, not just somebody on the job who says they're spiritual. No, I'm talking about somebody who knows God through Jesus Christ. When believers get together and pray, your spiritual impact is multiplied. And in Acts chapter 16, I just read about two men who were praying together. Two men who were in a jail cell praying together. And as a result, their spiritual impact in the heavens, which showed up on earth, was greatly multiplied. We're going to prove that in a minute. But first, I got to point out several negative things that happened to Paul and Silas. Because somebody in here is going through some negative stuff. And a lot of it is happening for you because you're trying to live for Jesus. You're trying to live the righteous life that he has called you to live. And you're suffering because of that. If you come out on Wednesday nights in 1 Peter, that's what we're talking about. When you're living for Jesus and you still suffer. Suffering for doing good and not so much suffering for doing bad. You are trying to live right. You're trying to love people well, but you're being bombarded. Negative things are happening. Watch what happened to these guys. Number one, they were seized in verse 19. Seized. They didn't do anything wrong to be seized. Secondly, they were dragged in verse 19. Paul and Silas, they were seized and then they were dragged. What did they do wrong? Nothing. They were then falsely accused in court. Verses 20 through 21, we got people who know what that feels like, not just in court, but in the court of life. When somebody's accusing you of something you didn't do, it hurts, man. But then they were outnumbered, earthly speaking. Verse 22, then they were stripped in front of everybody. Verse 22, so further humiliation is being placed on these two men because they dared to cast a demon out of a slave girl. Not only that, they were then beaten with rods, verse 22. In other words, they were caned. Then they received many stripes as a result of being beaten, verse 23. They were thrown into prison. Not put in prison, but thrown into prison. Watch the verbs, verse 23. They were then placed in solitary confinement, verse 24, deep into the hall of the prison. Probably not much light there. And then they were tortured by having their feet placed in stocks. So they're in a dark place. There's pain in their body from lacerations. They have been stripped. Their ego is probably wounded greatly. So many things have happened to them negatively. And all this happened, Strong Tower, because they chose to pray first. They prayed. Pastor, what are you getting at? I'll go back to Acts 16, verse 16. Now it happened. What happened? As we went to prayer, that a certain slave girl, on and on. So they would go down to the river by Lydia's house, where the church was forming in her house, and they would pray at the river together as believers. And one day, as they were going to prayer, because that was their custom while they were in Philippi, God allowed something to happen where this slave girl with a demon ended up getting delivered by them. And that spun out of control where they're in jail and beaten and all of that kind of stuff. But as it's spinning out of control, God is still in control because God has a plan. But I want y'all to see, Strong Tower, that it all started when they started praying. When we said we're going to go into 21 days of prayer to be more intentional and concentrated, us coming together, getting a central prayer thought written by the people of the church, you think the devil was happy about that? But like we said last week, expect resistance. But in the face of resistance, we remain persistent. in the face of resistance. I'm coming after you. As soon as you said, yes, I'll write a devotional. I'm coming after this church. As soon as y'all said, we're going to pray together for 21 days. Here comes attack. And that's what we see here. Prayer will start trouble. The minute you and your spouse say, we want to start praying together every night, watch out for distractions. Watch out for everything. Because, listen, when we talk about having a prayer partner and being a prayer partner, if you're married, number one, your prayer partner ought to be your spouse. Because couples that pray together stay together. You could pray in the car while you're driving. You can grab hands. You could pray over the meal at the table. You could pray before you go to bed. You could pray when you wake up. Doesn't have to be some long, drawn-out prayer. Pray as the Spirit of God leads you, but make sure you are praying together. Because if we're not sharing prayers, but yet we're going to try to share money and share bodies and share responsibilities around the house, it's backwards. We're praying together. We're crying out because there will be things said in prayer to God that you may not even knew was in the heart of your spouse, because they feel safe in the presence of the wonderful counselor to talk to God about a burden, an issue, a pain, a strain. And as you're praying and in agreement, you hear something come out of your spouse. It's like, oh, Lord, okay, thank you, God. And then we're going to pray. And then they hear something that comes out of you. Oh, boy, prayer starts trouble. It gets you in trouble, but it also gets you through trouble and out of trouble. Yes, sir. All of this happened because Paul and Silas, not only because they prayed, but watch this, from a prosperity gospel people who think nothing can go wrong for a Christian. No, they were in the will of God as they were in a jail cell. They were in the will of God as they were beaten for their faith. They were in the will of God as their feet were put in stocks. They were in the will of God and stuff was going wrong. So don't let anybody tell you, if things are going wrong in your life, like Job's friends, you had to have done something wrong. Oh, I wish I could preach this like I feel it. Your garbage disposal break, your refrigerator go out, the carburetor goes out, and then some of the Christian friends come around. Do you have sin in your life? I got sin right now because I'm about to dot your eye coming up to me saying stuff like that. That ain't what somebody needs to hear. Stuff might be going wrong because stuff is going right in my life. And God is teaching me about his faithfulness. So all this, they were in the will of God, everybody. But Paul and Silas, in the midst of all this negativity, they decided to do something about it. When we're going through a bunch of negativity, we're tempted to quit. Am I right? We're tempted to give up. We're tempted to show out. We're tempted to go off, all that kind of stuff when we're going through a midnight. But what these two cats do, they prayed together. Now, they not only prayed, but they praised together. That's a whole nother message. But let's stick on prayer. What they did, they prayed together. Acts 16:25. But, see that but right there is a shift. It's a conjunction that says, I know we just talked about all this stuff that just happened to these guys, but I know there's a lot of negative stuff, hard things, painful things going on in my life, but if I can learn how to pray, let alone pray with somebody else, God is ready to turn and flip the script in here. So when you're going through, what are you going to do? I hope you will do what these guys did, but at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening. But at midnight, not only was it physical midnight, but it was like a spiritual midnight. They didn't come to Philippi for all of that trouble. They came in to give the gospel, and they found trouble. But at midnight, they began to pray. Now, here's what I like to ask. I like to use my Christian imagination. I'm like, while they up in there with the feet in the thing, they're in the inner cell, it's dark, they're bleeding, they're struggling. I want to know what they prayed. The obvious, right? They prayed to get out. Lord, get us out. They may have also prayed, Lord, use this for your glory somehow. And they may have thrown like a general prayer to God, but God filled in the blanks and made it more specific. What were they praying? What would you pray? Lord, smite my enemy on the cheekbone. That's an imprecatory psalm, Lord. Get him. Vengeance is yours. Hey, we've been there, right? What were they praying? I'm going to tell you and show you from the text the positive things. Oh, thank you, Jesus. That happened after they prayed that far outweigh the negative things that happened to them in the earlier portion of the passage. More good things are going to come out of their prayer that will engulf the negative stuff. Because I don't know what they prayed, but whatever they prayed for, God did much more. Whatever they prayed for, I believe God did much more. Several positive things happened because of Paul and Silas coming together to pray. Number one, the prisoners were listening. Verse 25. So these two men are praying and praising God, and they got a concert going on because people are leaning in, listening. And they got to be loud because they're in the inner sanctum of the prison, and God is allowing it to reverberate throughout the rest of the prison where the people, the men, can hear them. So the prisoners are listening. In other words, God is being glorified right now. People are listening to the gospel through prayers and songs right now. Then there was a great earthquake in verse 26. And then the Bible says the prison was shaken, verse 26. Do you think they prayed for an earthquake and for the thing to shake? I don't think so. But that started happening. God was demonstrating his power in a physical way to let everybody listening know that he was showing up through his two servants who were calling on his name. And he did something unusual, and he shook the foundations of that prison. And then number four, the doors of the prison flung open. Verse 26. You think they prayed for that? Now watch this now. None of the prisoners are going to run out because they're more captured by what God is doing, which is causing them to forget about their captivity. I'd rather sit in this jail cell because I sense that God is here. I sense something is happening. The doors are open. I could run, but I'd rather stay because God is up to something. Never seen nothing like this in my life. There's a whole lot of shaking going on. Jailhouse rock is happening up in that joint. Doors are open, but they're captivated by what God is up to. And then, y'all, verse 26, everybody's chains fell off. They up there participating in a blessing that they didn't even ask for because two people got together and prayed. Chains are falling off. No prisoners fled, verse 27. A suicide attempt was prevented, verses 27 through 28. The jailer, thinking that everybody had ran away, said, let me kill myself before my bosses decide to kill me with the Roman government. Because they're going to kill me, man. So I might as well fall on the sword and kill myself. But that suicide was prevented because Paul said, don't kill yourself. Everybody's still here. And what Paul is doing is he's loving his enemy. Rather than saying, you know what, Lord, let him do it. No, don't do it. And not only this, he's bridging the world of Jew and Gentile through love. Through love. Because when they brought him before the magistrates, the Romans were like, these Jews are turning our city around. So it became racial. And they said, we are Romans and we don't do this. Those are Jews. And the Romans, the Europeans, mistreated the Hebrew people. But here Paul is like, don't kill yourself, man. We're here. So we're going to see some reconciliation across racial lines. Not only that, the sinner then asked a question in verse 30. What must I do to be saved? And then in verse 31, the gospel was preached. Man said, what must I do to be saved? I'm afraid some of these folk running around here today would say, you got to give money to my church to be saved. I'm afraid some of these folk running around here today would say, you got to get baptized to get saved. I'm afraid some of these folks running around here today would say, you got to live right to be saved. You got to speak in tongues to be saved. But what did Paul and Barnabas say? They told this man who asked a direct question, they gave him a direct and clear answer. They said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe. And you will be saved. And then Paul said, and your household. Because when you get right with God, it just has a way of touching the rest of the family. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. What else happened because they were praying? Paul and Silas' wounds were washed in verse 33. So the first fruit of this man's salvation and conversion is that he's going to wash the wounds that either he inflicted on them or the Roman government inflicted on them. Nobody told him to do that. But when you come to Jesus, you get a new heart. And you look at people differently. You see them made in the image of God. You see their suffering. You just don't look at them. They're Jews and they're beneath me. No, they're now my brothers. And I'm going to wash their wound. Nobody told him that. He didn't go to a class. The Holy Spirit. Ben, you were talking about the Holy Spirit. If we just let him have his way. If we submit to him. Yield to him. It's not rocket science to say, I forgive somebody. You know God's telling you to forgive. It's not rocket science to ask for forgiveness in a broken relationship. Do it. But we grieve and quench the Holy Spirit because of our pride and our stiff necks and our hard hearts. But let him have his way. Look, oh, I got to go on. And then the man's family got baptized in verse 33. They were just in jail a minute ago. Now they got a baptism worship service. Hospitality was shown. He set food before them. And they ate, and then rejoicing occurred in verse 34. And then Paul and Silas walked back into the prison, and the doors were shut. And then when the morning came, let the church say morning time, resurrection, opportunity, new mercies. Oh, boy. They come to Paul and Silas and say, go ahead, we done beat y'all up. Y'all go ahead and leave now. And Paul's like, hold on now. Now here's Paul being a little petty. I kind of like this. Y'all beat us, and it was unjust. Not only that, y'all didn't know that I am a Jew with Roman citizenship. So Christians, be wise as serpent, harmless as doves. Just because we're Christian don't mean we're supposed to be doormats. I got to say it again. Just because we're Christian don't mean we're supposed to be doormats. Yeah, we turn the other cheek, and we forgive all of that. But don't mess over us, especially if you have status and authority. You got to let folk know, I am a Roman. And once that happened, now they're nervous now. Because we done beat a Roman and it was not justified. Now we might get beaten or killed. But Paul had mercy on them. He said, I ain't going to go down that street on y'all. I'm just letting y'all know if I wanted to, I could. Maybe scare some of the hell out of y'all. I'm going back off in verse 40. They're going to be released from the prison. They so happy when they got out of there and nothing happened to them. Like, whoo. And all this happened because Paul and Silas chose to complain. No. All this happened because Paul and Silas began to fuss and cuss. No. All of this happened because two men decided to touch and agree and pray. And God did exceeding abundantly above anything they could ever ask or imagine. They were not only blessed, but other people were blessed. And that's how you know God's up to something in your life. It's just not about you getting something. It's about other people getting blessed who are attached to you. Oh, my goodness. So tell me, what is not happening in your life because you are not praying? What is not happening in your life because you are not praying with another believer? So your assignment, if you don't already qualify, find a prayer partner. Find somebody you can call. And then be that somebody that folk can call you for prayer. Dorena's dad is a prayer partner. Now, that don't mean we pray together all the time. I got brothers around here that I pray with, and I'm so thankful, man, for Brother John Wells, who's just joined the staff. I love John. But one of the things I love most about John is that brother can pray. When we get together and start praying, it's a wrap. It's a wrap. I'm telling you, that 2x2 thing Jesus sent him out, it's a wrap. But I will call Darina's dad. Late in the midnight hour, I'm struggling, ready to quit, ready to give up. And he would not only counsel me, but he would go to the Father on my behalf and pray for me and pray over me. I got men in this church, same thing. Do you have somebody that will pray with you and pray for you, that you can pray with, that you can pray for? Don't try to do this thing by yourself. And take men, take the conversation beyond who played last Sunday. Take the conversation beyond what you like to eat and all that. Take the conversation. Somebody have enough courage to say, man, let's pray together. And watch what happens. Watch what happens. When you pray, in conclusion, with another believer, your spiritual impact is multiplied. One can chase 1,000. Two can put 10,000 to flight. When you pray and even hold hands with another believer while you pray, because holding hands speaks of we're unified. We're touching and agreeing with each other on a thing that we're believing God for. When we touch, oh Lord, when we pray with another believer, our spiritual impact is multiplied. Well, this just ain't fun and games. This is real life. On Friday, this past Friday, our dear sister Rhonda Harris, who's married to brother Lance Harris, she got a call that her grandson, Nolan, had passed out at school. Passed out at school. That's a tough phone call to get. And then they tell her they've called the ambulance, and they're taking Nolan to the hospital. What does she do? First thing she does, she calls on the Lord. Her husband is at work. She couldn't give him the whole scoop, so she said, I'm not going to call Lance just yet. But Father, help my grandson. But then she turned and called Sister Toni Smith. Would you pray with me for my grandson to be okay? Toni calls on the Lord. The two of them call on the Lord together. Then Toni sends a text to me and Darina. Darina and I call on the Lord together. And then Rhonda sends a message to Pastor Felicia as she prays for Nolan because he's one of her babies in class. And then Pastor Felicia sends a message to the staff, and the staff begins to pray. And then she sends a message to her leaders, and the leaders begin to pray. Watch this. Everybody gets to the hospital. The word is that Nolan recovered, came back to himself in the ambulance before the ambulance got to the hospital. You think that's coincidence? That's the power of prayer. So I get up to the hospital. I don't know what God has been doing. I don't know what has happened. I'm going in ready to lay hands in the name of Jesus and pray. I walk in. Nolan is sitting up in his hospital bed eating a cheese sandwich, a ham and cheese, a grilled cheese sandwich from a wacky pack from around the corner. He's sitting up eating a grilled cheese sandwich. I say to Rhonda, what's going on? And Rhonda's witnessing the folk in it, and she says, it's because of these 21 days of prayer. And not only that, watch the sovereignty of God. That morning, Friday morning, the devotional that went out to the church was written by Sharon Smith, and the prayer focus was for the children's ministry of Strong Tower Bible Church. So as y'all read it and as y'all are praying, you don't even know what's going on. I'm just here to say, man, that's what God does. Because, one, we can put 1,000 to flight by ourselves. Yeah, we can pray, and we should. when we're by ourselves. But man, you should also be able to pick up a phone, send a text to somebody and say, pray with me, pray for me. Because when that happens, our effectiveness in the kingdom is multiplied because we're humbling ourselves, walking in community, depending on God together. And when that happens, we get to rejoice together. Amen. Would you stand to your feet now? We're going to pray before we leave. But there may be somebody here, you're in a midnight for real. Rhonda and Lance, their family can rejoice over what's going on with their grandson. Tony and Stephanie Steele can rejoice as they're at home, as Roman is continuing to recover. But somebody here is like, man, I'm going through. I need to be prayed for. I need to be prayed over. I need to be prayed with. I'm going to open up the altar in a moment. It's always open. It's never closed for you to come. You're in something that, man, you're suffering for righteousness, or you may be suffering for something that you did. But when we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, in due season he'll lift us up. God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. For people who say, God, I need help, and I'm not ashamed in the community of believers to come. So in a moment, I'm going to ask you to come. And then I'm going to ask people who have that heart of intercession, you don't have to know everything, to come lay hands on people who are here. We're developing an intercession ministry that will stand in the gap, but also minister over people who come to pray. We're going to another level as a church. We're going deeper that God may take us wider. Prayer, prayer, prayer. You're going through something. You need prayer, touching and agreeing. But also there may be someone here or someone watching, and can you put the decision slide up? Someone who doesn't know Jesus. And today might be the day where you say, man, I want to know him. You hit that QR code, okay? Today is the day that you say, Jesus is mine. I want him. Or there may be someone who says, I know him, but I want to rededicate my life. Someone else may say, I want to get baptized. Use your phone. No one has to know your business. Hit that code. We'll minister to you. We will get back to you. But right now, let's pray for somebody in the midnight. Come, 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 come on, come on, come on, come on. Let's go. Let's pray. Come on. With Paul and Silas, we're not going to miss this moment. We're not going to sit in this jail cell. We're not going to sit in this darkness. We're not going to sit with this pain. We're going to talk to God about it. And until he gives me a song to sing, I'm going to keep praying. You're in something. You're in something. You're in something. You need prayer. Intercessors, folks with the gift of encouragement, make sure everybody up here is touched. You don't have to be a pastor to pray. You have to be a Christian to pray. I hear you, Christina. That's my girl giving an amen. She's shouting. She knew what's going on. We need some chains to fall off. We need some yokes to break. We need God to turn things around. Those of you online, pray with us. It's midnight. But in the same place and time that brings pain, God can turn it around and bring joy and rejoicing. My friend Fred Hammond says, late in the midnight hour, God's gonna turn it around. It's going to work in your favor. So, brothers and sisters, just take a moment. Talk to God. Pray silently for people. now that you've prayed silently, let's do something we may have never done this way. But we see it in the text, okay? Those who are in the pew, those who are up front, let's pray audibly now. Let's just start talking to God. He'll understand. We're not going to understand. Everybody who's here, start praying. Open your mouth. Open your mouth in the sanctuary. Start praying. Open your mouth and pray. Start praying. Everybody, start praying. Lord, help my friends. Lord, help my family. Lord, help my brother. Lord, help my... Everybody, start opening your mouth right now. It's still too quiet. It's too quiet in here. Open your mouth and talk to God. Come on, open your mouth and talk to God. Open your mouth. Hallelujah, open your mouth. Help God. Help them, God. Help me, God. Open your mouth. We love you, Yah. God, we know you got it in control. Oh, God, it hurts. But I know you can send an angel to wash my wounds. God, I'm in need of a blessing. Oh, Jesus, I can't turn to anyone else but you. You've got all power. You can do the impossible. You can fix what I think is just permanently broken. Oh, God, hear my cry. Hear my prayer. Help me, God, in this midnight hour. I need you, Jesus. I'm so glad I have you, Jesus. Thank you for brothers and sisters who will not judge me, but who will encourage me and hold me up before the throne, because they might be doing that for you tomorrow. We're dwelling in community, not isolation. One can put 1,000, two can put 10,000. God, rebuke the devil on your people's behalf. Lift up a standard against the enemy. Do a work, God, in your people. Refresh. Revive. Restore. Renew. Might there be rejoicing. Give each person a song in the night. Give each person a song, a hymn that you can put in their spirit, that they can put on repeat. In addition to quoting the word, they can sing a song. Lord, I pray you open up jail cells. I pray, God, that you turn enemies into friends in Jesus' name. I pray that you'll bring racial reconciliation as only you can in Jesus' name. Might we be surprised over the walls that you're knocking down, that we've put up between one another. I pray that you knock down these political walls that are dividing your church. That we can agree to disagree and do it in an agreeable fashion. I pray that you surprise us. Do some things. Do that thing as I'm about to pray. That Ephesians 3:20 thing. More than we could ever ask for. But we are asking. Father God, we are asking. We need you. Thank you, Father, for hearing our prayers. Thank you for being a good, good Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for causing us to look upward, to cry, Abba, Daddy, Papa. Oh God, we need you. Visit your people with your peace. Do that work in them as they're waiting on you to do that work around them. Give them that inner strength, that inner peace and joy, that it's going to be all right because they've given it over to you. Can't wait to see what you're going to do. Can't wait to see what you're going to do. If you before us, who can be against us? Can't wait to see you be glorified. Can't wait to see you raise the dead. Can't wait. And for those of us who are struggling, Lord, help our unbelief. We believe, but help our unbelief. Lord, I've been to this altar. I've talked to you about this before. It hasn't happened, at least not in my time. But I'm going to keep on seeking. I'm going to keep on asking. I'm going to keep on knocking. I'm going to push through the crowd and grab a hold of the hem of your garment. I'm going to believe you. Now unto him, and to him alone, who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think, and it's according to the power that's working within us. To him be all of the glory, all of the majesty, all of the dominion, all of the power, both right now, right now, right now, and forevermore. And all of God's people say, praise him. Come on, praise him. Come on and thank him. Come on and bless him. Come on and love on him. Come on, give him the glory. Come on, give the honor. There's none like him. Oh, come on now. Come on now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You got to hug a couple folks before you leave now. Everybody got to hug somebody before you leave now. Y'all have a wonderful day. Altar's still open. The altar's still open. Just because we off the air don't mean we off the spirit.